Good morning.
Good morning.
And peace be with you. There's some announcements this morning. I'm filling in for Susan. And I have some sad news to report to you that her beloved Jerry passed away on December 3rd. And so your prayers are coveted. And, you know, we do love her and her family. So please do lift her up in prayer and her children, she and Jerry's children, Joe and Annie. Just lift them up for peace and comfort and mercy and grace. Today we celebrate also, or remember rather, December 7th, a tragedy attack in Pearl Harbor. Reflect on the sacrifices made by so many that we could be here today in relative freedom to proclaim Christ and Him crucified without fear of anyone kicking our door in and stopping us from doing that. So those are a couple of things that I wanted to bring to your attention. In your bulletin, you will find all of the information that really is important to know. And so I'll leave it to you to go through and cull through what is important to you and what is not. But I'd also like to remind you, as a church body of many parts, that you have an opportunity, if you desire, to come and serve in any way that God has gifted you. And one of those ways is through council. And we do have a council meeting coming up. It's the second Saturday of every month. And this next Saturday is our council. We meet over in the fellowship hall at 9:30. And all are welcome to come to hear what is going on in the church from a advisory situation, and to put your input in as well. So if you've got some time on a Saturday morning and you'd like to hear and see what goes on and maybe contribute yourself, then please do come. And I think that takes care of everything. Yesterday we had a celebration of Carol's life, and it was, I think, a blessing. We saw some folks that we hadn't seen in a long time, members of Reformation Lutheran Church. We got to hear some really fun stories of the person that was Carol from Ken's point of view, and I really appreciate that. And we got to meet some old dear friends. Ken's got a buddy that came here, and he's known him since kindergarten. So that was a lot of fun. And I am grateful to all of you who attended, all of you who helped so much. This church is full of some very silent servants, and what a blessing it is to stand before you and to know the support and the time, the effort and the talents and the finances that you give to keep this ministry going. And I know that it is pleasing to God. So with that, we are grateful to have Diane back with us. And hi, Diane. And we will start, as always. Uh-oh. Oh, there's no way I'm going to hear you. Not old deaf pastor here. What did I miss?
We have two small arrangements on the there. If somebody wants to take them home and then bring the vases back.
Okay, okay.
The little ones.
The little ones, okay. We have two small arrangements back there, the little ones. If somebody would like to take them, they may, and then bring the vases. You're the one that taught me, not Wittenberg, Wittenberg. So get your vases. Bring. Oh, sign up for poinsettias. Okay. It's hard to get good help these days, isn't it, Ed? So as always, during the Advent season, we do start our service with the lighting of the Advent candles. And as we sing together, O Come, Emmanuel, which is found on page 34 in your Lutheran Book of Worship. Come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please stand if you're able? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. And as you're called an ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. This can be found on page 1076 in the Pew Bible. This prophecy foretells a future righteous ruler from the line of Jesse who will have divine wisdom, counsel, and might, establishing a reign of peace, new life, and hope. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. We will read Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7, responsively. It is printed on page 6 of the bulletin. Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness.
May he judge.
May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruits of righteousness. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. The next reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13, and this can be found on page 1766 in the Pew Bible. This message encourages we believers to follow Christ's example to welcome others as did Christ. Romans 15, verses 4 through 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might hear and have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with the people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. Here ends the readings. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew from the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 12 and can be found on page 1499 in your pew Bible. Matthew records, in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes the one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, because we know nothing good comes from any other source. There are several proverbs that speak about acquiring skill or knowledge through practice. Perhaps you have heard in your lifetime someone say, practice makes perfect. Or repetition is the mother of learning. And these sayings are good as far as they go, but they are, well, they're incomplete. Practice and repetition only work. They only work if they are the right kind of practice and the right kind of repetition. Now, perhaps these proverbs could stand a little bit of an update. Maybe perfect practice makes perfect. Or proper repetition is the mother of learning. The fact of the matter is that you can create some really wretched habits if you practice or repeat the wrong thing. Go walk on a golf course sometime. That's for the golfers out there. Whenever we gather information, it is probably wise to remember another proverb about learning the wrong thing. And this is it. If you tell a lie often enough and loud enough, most people will believe it is the truth. And that was a problem for the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to John the Baptist at the Jordan. Both the Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, they practiced their religions, well, diligently. Both of them intensely studied the books of Moses. Both of them, well, they knew their religions very, very well. The problem was that they had repeated wrong things and had practiced in wrong ways. We've talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees before. And the Pharisees had detuned the law by developing the tradition of the elders. The tradition of the elders. It's a set of principles that allowed them to think they were keeping the law when indeed they were not. Now the Sadducees, they detuned the law by teaching that there was, well, no eternal existence. That there was no resurrection. No life after death, and so forth. Now, if there is no existence after death, they would reason, then there is no punishment. No punishment after death. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees often had very spirited debates over their differences. But there is one thing on which they could agree, that there was no need, absolutely no need, for repentance. The Pharisee would say that there is no need for repentance because we can work our way into God's good favor. The Sadducee would say that we don't need to repent because it doesn't make any difference. That there is no eternal punishment. So why repent? Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees agreed on something else as well. They put a great deal of pride into their family tree. That they were descendants of Abraham. They believed that they already had been grafted into Abraham's covenant through circumcision. At the root of their problem is the attitude that God loves them just because they are so very special. The truth is, they had just come up with some religious and cultural teachings and rituals that reinforced their own beliefs. That attitude of believing that God loves us just because we are so special is common to all mankind. It means that you and I have to deal with this problem as well. In some churches, not this one. You could ask someone why we should take them seriously. And he may say, why? I have been a member for X number of years. I have served on such and such committees and boards. I have contributed to this and that and the other thing. And besides all of that, my grandfather was a founding member. Kind of sounds silly. Now, such a statement might carry a lot of weight if somebody is running for public office. It might carry a lot of weight at the Chamber of Commerce. But such a statement means nothing, absolutely nothing in the presence of God, and therefore it means nothing within the Holy Christian Church. John the Baptist, he preached the true attitude that we should have, and that is this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In classical Greek, the word repent deals with the remorse a person has when they realize that they have made a mistake that they cannot undo. A modern example like this, the tragedy and the realization of this horrible mistake they can't undo. Here's a modern, and it's gross, but the modern example might be a hunting accident. A hunting accident where someone thought they were shooting a deer, but it turned out to be a child playing in the woods. Repentance was a profound wish, a wish to take it back, to turn back the clock, to undo what was done, to have a do-over, even to wish the evil had befallen on you instead of the other person. There is sadness, there is guilt, there is remorse, and there is despair in repentance. Now, the tragedy of classical Greek, well, it's this, it's that they had no concept of a remedy. There's no taking it back. There was no turning back the clock. There's no undoing what was done. Unlike our sports, there are no do-overs in real life. What's done is done, and it cannot be undone. When we first hear the call to repent from the mouth of John the Baptist, it doesn't sound much like a remedy. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then further he says, even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. John the Baptist is telling us that our sins are much worse than we think that they are. He is telling us that all sins, not just the sins that fill us with remorse, all sins deserve the judgment of being cut down like firewood and tossed into a fire. And that fire, the fire he is speaking is it's not just some little campfire. He is talking about the fire of eternal punishment. He is speaking of hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. At first, it seems as though repentance should not only be full of despair, but it should also be full of terror. Terror of the eternal punishment that we so truly deserve. And even so, there is hope in John's words. For he proclaims, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is none other than the reign of the Christ. The Christ, which means the anointed one, has been carrying the sins of the world from the womb. But soon the Christ will reveal himself in a very public way. Soon the Christ will come and add something profound to the meaning of repentance. He will add a second part to repentance. And that second part will be faith. Faith that looks to God for a remedy from the despair and the terror of our sin. The reign of Christ is unlike any other reign. He does not ask you. He doesn't ask you to serve him. No, he comes to serve you. He serves you with the remedy for sin, with his holy, innocent life. He produced the righteousness that you need for your salvation. And then he lifted the terror, he lifted the despair and the guilt of your sin away from you, and he replaced it with his righteousness, the righteousness that he earned. He bore your sin to the cross. And there, he embraced the despair. He embraced the guilt and terror of God's wrath against your sin. It is in his battle for you on the cross that Christ reveals the true essence of his reign. The true essence of the kingdom of heaven. There on the cross, he battled for you and for me. And as he revealed the fullness of his reign with his death on the cross, he continued his reign over all things by rising from the dead. The kingdom of heaven includes the promise of the resurrection from the dead to life everlasting. Christ reigns for you forever. Now, repentance has a new, fuller meaning. It's not just the recognition of your sin, along with its sadness and its guilt and its remorse and despair and terror. Instead, it also includes the promise of grace through the gospel. Christian repentance turns you away from yourself and your sin, and it points you to Jesus on the cross. There you see that the kingdom of heaven is there for your forgiveness. It is there to give you the eternal life and salvation that comes along with that forgiveness. We now repent in the certainty that there is forgiveness for us in Jesus Christ. You heard it. I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Advent is a time of coming. John the Baptist tells us that it is the kingdom of heaven that is coming. He also tells us that Repentance is the proper preparation for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, Advent is the time of the year when we remember that our whole life is to be a life of repentance. That life of repentance that looks to Jesus Christ and only to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you please stand if you're able? Let us now confess together our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed on page 3 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the life of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church, the Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Merciful God, you remember your covenant forever, for 1,000 generations. Teach us to remember your wondrous works and seek your strength and presence continually. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, the voice of your prophet broke the silence to prepare the way for your Son. Give your people the courage to speak Christ to the nations and teach those still in darkness and death about his gift of light and life. Keep us from being ashamed of the gospel or intimidated by the opinions of others. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, you give your word to the church for encouragement and instruction in endurance. Continue to instruct us by your word that we may abound in hope. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you preserve Jesse's faithful line by the incarnation of your Son. Give families and individuals strength to faithfully fulfill their vocations to love and forgive one another, that we may be trained up in your fear, your love, and your trust. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, your Son rules over creation with justice and righteousness. Endow those in authority with the desire and ability to protect the innocent, to punish the wicked, and to work for the common welfare. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, St. John spoke the promise of healing to the broken and the wounded. Give to all afflicted in body or mind the riches of your grace, healing according to your will, and grace to carry them through the day of their trouble. We pray especially right now, out loud or in our hearts, for those that are on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, stir up our hearts, O Lord, and make ready the way of your only begotten Son, who comes to us this day in his true body and precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. May all who feast upon him do so in repentance and faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, grant us all things needful and keep from us all things harmful to us and our salvation, that with confidence in your will we may say amen to our prayers and then live in contentment and peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace. Pray with me. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, every Sunday, Luther said you wouldn't have a church if you didn't have communion. Every Sunday. In fact, you could take it every day. But the kingdom of at hand is about to be put into your hand, his body given for you. The kingdom is at hand is about, you're about to taste him, you're about to touch him, you're about to Drink him. Drink him in. You're drinking in grace, a means of grace where he meets you right here with his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins. This means of grace does indeed rescue from sin, death, and the devil. This is a gift. This is grace for you. If that's your confession, then come. The table is prepared, and the usher will bring you forward. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, sending song, is Love Divine, All Excelling, found on 315.